Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Again, it was always based on belief. It was always based on faith and trust. In each and every dispensation, it was based on belief, but there was always something else tied to it. But even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So that's everybody. If we have faith, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith. It was never by the works of the law. It was never the law. It was through faith. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. This is for everybody. The faith of Jesus Christ, our salvation, is to all nations. You can tie that all the way down later on where it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We should count. Somebody needs to go through Galatians and count how many times he uses the word faith for me. I never did it, but I think it's all about faith. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The works of the law, if we're under that, it's the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. They were justified by faith in Christ. We learned that through 1 through 5. Was it the faith or was it by works? It was by faith. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Again, you can't mix law and grace. You can't mix the two together. It's either one or the other. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Thankfully, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is of Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promises of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come. Talking about Jesus Christ. Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come. Until that promise of Jesus Christ was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been given by the law. That's probably one of my favorite passages in there. And there's so much you can take from it. But in each and every dispensation, if there was another way that would have worked for salvation, they would have done that. It says it right there. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to go to the cross of Calvary. And I always think about him standing in the Garden of Gethsemane and crying tears of blood, saying, let this cup pass from me. But the love of Jesus Christ let him go through with that. The love of Jesus Christ, knowing that mankind cannot do anything in and of themselves. The law cannot save. The law cannot do anything for us. All the law can do is point us to a Savior that we need. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. We're talking a little bit this morning about Catholics and popes. And again, I don't know what they do with these passages. Again, Mary was a sinner. Popes are sinners. Everyone in the world is a sinner, except for Jesus Christ, because he was God Almighty. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Again, salvation is belief. Salvation is faith. There's nothing else other than that. It says, believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Again, this is, you can look at this as a dispensational approach as well. In verse, like I said, 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Before Jesus Christ came, we had to follow the law. Shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So again, now we are no longer under that schoolmaster. Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has went to the cross. Jesus Christ has paid for all our sins. So there's a difference. Before Jesus Christ came, it had to be a different program. Had to be a different dispensation. Had to be a different approach. After Jesus Christ came, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 27, I believe that's a spiritual baptism. Again, a lot of people want to sit here and tie what baptism it is, and that's a spiritual baptism. Because if you go down to verse 28, where it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. There's only one way for us to all be one in Christ Jesus. There's only one way for us all to be one, and it's a spiritual sense. So again, he's talking about, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have been identified with Christ, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have salvation. You are a child of Abraham's. You are a part of that family of God. Galatians 3, you can sort of tie it back with Romans chapter 4 if you ever want to read through. But Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 9. You can start about 9 or so. But cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Again, same thing. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Again, so you can just see the faith of Abraham. He received that, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And this is the whole book of Galatians is what the Apostle Paul is fighting. They all want to go back to the law. They want to go back to traditions. And if you ever talk to a Catholic, we brought it up a little bit in Sunday school, but if you ever talk to a Catholic, that's what, oh, it's the farthest thing we can go back. You know, if you talk to them, they'll talk about history and they'll talk about, to me, it's traditions. And we got to get away from the traditions of man and get into the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and it comes alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But this is the truth and this is where we have to learn from. You can see in Galatians 3, 15 through 17, what is the purpose? For the people of Israel, what's its purpose was not. In 15 through 17, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to the seeds of many, but as of one, to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that were confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promises of none effect. It was not to change the promises that were made to Abraham. You know, Abraham had promises, they were given to him. The law was not there to change it, the law was not there to disannul it. The law which came 430 years later cannot annul that covenant confirmed by God. It was not to provide the promise made regarding the seed. To Abraham and his seed, which was Christ, were the promises made. The law did not make the promise of no effect, nor did it provide the inheritance regarding the seed. You can see in 19 through 23, the purpose was to, it was added because of transgressions. Again, it had to point us to a Savior. It had to point to prove that we're all sinners. Wherefore then serveth the law, this is verse 19, it was added because of transgressions. This is the reason it was added. Till the seed should come. That seed is Jesus Christ. So the law was there for a purpose, for a reason, for the nation of Israel, because of the transgressions. For the purpose of revealing and manifesting to man his sinfulness. Till that seed, which was Jesus Christ, should come, to whom the promises was made. Not against the promise, but it could not provide life. We saw that it could not provide life. Let's read on down. Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Again, he's asking, is the law? No, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Anybody that tells you, you know, it's I have to give 10% to the church, or I have to do this, I have to do that. And I would assume most people don't think it's a requirement, but it's a major necessity. That's the way we should put it. But a lot of people always put the need on it or the necessity on it. To me, this is a great verse to pull up. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, it could have came that way. Righteousness would have come by the law. If he could have said, hey, you can give enough money, you can go to church enough times, you can walk enough, you can do the right thing enough times, righteousness would have come by the law. And it's so crucial to see that when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried tears of blood to let that cup pass from him. If God would have said, yes, you know, the other six dispensations didn't work, but I've got a seventh one and you don't even know about it and we're going to go this route. No, it says here, if righteousness could have been by the law, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The law was given to lead and guide us. You can go on to verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. If we don't go to school, what happens? If we're not educated, if we're not learned, if we don't know anything, We don't know the difference. And we can see that in our world today. That they think everything's okay. They think everything's fine. But wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by the law? No, we're justified by faith. The law brought us unto Christ. Faith is what saves us. But after that, faith has come. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. And that doesn't mean you have free will and you can go do whatever you want to do and I'm going to just live it up because I believe in the Word of God. But we are no longer under bondage. We are no longer under the law. We have the Holy Spirit convicting us. We have the Holy Spirit leading us. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. And we need to listen to that voice. We need to listen to that voice. We are convicted each and every day. And you can put it out. You can still be a believer and put out the conviction of the Holy Spirit, in my personal opinion. But here it says, after Jesus Christ has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. When you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you now have eternal life. You can jump over to, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. A couple different. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He took the law and nailed it to the cross. When he went to the cross of Calvary, he took everything to the cross. Whatever you can think of, he took with him. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took the, Hitler's sins. He took them all to the cross of Calvary. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14, it says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Again, he took the law, he took the ordinances, he took everything to the cross. It's done, it's solved, it's paid for. In verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Again, in Sunday school we were talking about Catholicism a little bit. And saying, oh, if God's too busy for us, we can pray to Mary, or Mary will intervene for us. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We can pray directly to the Father. We can ask the Father for anything. We can go directly to him. He is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. If you wake up in the middle of the night, pray to him. We have direct access to the God Almighty. It is by faith. We are justified by faith. What does the law do for us today, then, you may ask? And Romans 15, verse 4 is one of the passages you can... The Apostle Paul says, what so was written before time is written for our learning. It says 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Things written before are written for our learning. I look at that as a dispensational approach too, that the Apostle Paul, what he wrote is directly to us. We apply it to our lives. Whatever is written before us, we can learn from, we can grow from, we can be educated from. We can, you know, feel the love of Christ. We can feel the characteristics of Christ. But we can't take it and apply it to our lives. And that's what he's talking about. Again, through patience of Scripture. It's for our admonition. You know, there's so many things that happened to the nation of Israel. The Old Testament was written and preserved, especially for the benefits of the Christians. Again, a lot of people wrote through the New Testament about things in the Old Testament. Peter, in 1 and 2 Peter, he warns of false teachers and scoffers. You know, same thing for us. We can be, we can learn from that. We can grow from that. We can have hope from that. We can see all the promises that the nation of Israel had. But we can have hope because of what they went through. Verse 26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." How do we become children of God? It's by faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know how you read through Galatians 1, 2, and 3 and say it's something other than faith. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." We are all part of the body of Christ. We are all one in Christ. The minute you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. "And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are all seed of Abraham. We are all children of Abraham. No, we're not all in that same, we're not Jews, we're not in that same lineage, we're not, but because of faith, because of Jesus Christ, because we are all one in Christ, we are, Abraham is our father. And heirs according to the promise. There's many things in this life that you could be promised. Maybe there's an inheritance or there's something that you're, you know, but Ernie said it in Sunday school today. We're talking about friends and different things, but friends can break promises. People can break promises. Friends can turn on you. But when it's a promise in the Word of God, we have heirs according to the promise. We are going to inherit everything that Abraham inherited. We're going to inherit everything that the Apostle Paul inherited. We are going to inherit everything together. What an amazing thing that will be. And when you think this life gets too hard, or you're going through struggles or temptations, or just think of all the promises that Jesus Christ gives to you. He gives you spiritual blessings. He gives you eternal life. You are sealed until the day of redemption. I think there's things there that we'll have that we don't even know we're going to get. But we are all children of God. We are children of Abraham. And we all have heirs according to the promise of Jesus Christ. For the people of Christ, the law continues to serve for our learning and admonition, for our wisdom, our spiritual profit. But the law is not there to follow, per se. If you go back to the Old Testament, there's actually 613 laws that they had to follow. Everybody says, "Well, I follow the Ten Commandments." I don't even think we can follow the Ten Commandments. There's 613 laws to follow. But thank goodness that we live in the age of grace. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. Just reading through Galatians chapter 3, it's by faith. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we believe what God said in his word, if we believe what he says here in Scripture, we will have eternal life. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God and just the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, that we can put our faith and trust in you. The law is before faith came, law was our schoolmaster. But after faith came, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Because of what you have done on the cross of Calvary, because you went and paid for our sins, you took care of the law, you took care of everything, past, present, and future, that we have eternal life with you. If we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. It's one of the many promises that you made to us, and we just thank you for that, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together again.